Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me for the Extra Hour to encourage you, to inform you, hopefully enlighten you, and empower you is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, John. Also joining us is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. If you missed the first hour, you've got to check it out. A few funny things. The age, the possible age of Satan when he rebelled in heaven, there. Dr. James Dodson's secret for raising teenagers. The desire of God to meet the heart of the fatherless. And so much more. Looking forward to encouraging you in this extra hour. We'll be talking about five things that President Bill Clinton says that he is changing the world as they identify him as president of the world. As the United Nations meets.
Right.
Dear God. Give a shout out to our Texas listeners this morning. Also, give a shout out to Denver, Colorado. Hello, Denver. Give a shout out to all of our listeners in Pensacola, Florida. Hello, Emerald Coast. Good morning, Mariana. Morning, morning, morning. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you in the Extra Hour is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
And Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Here we are. We're moving right now. The United Nations is meeting. The whole world's coming together, and it just looks like, you know, with all the technology that we're seeing, you know, happen in the world, it's like things are kind of clicking into place for end-time prophecy. Or end-time prophecy, and you're watching. If you get a chance, you can watch the United Nations. Now, they live feed it out to the world. Wow. And you see all these different meetings taking place, but they're all at the same time happening in different areas and all. And we're looking at it right now. And the president is speaking today. I mean, he already spoke already, I would guess. And, you know, it's one world government is the end of... That's how things are going to come to a point. You know, and you can, you know... Perry Stone, you know, his ministry called Manifest, that he says, if it's God, if it's prophecy being fulfilled, you know, you can do what you can't stop it,
right?
You know,
right.
But if it's not God, you know, fight, preach, you know, Americans, you know, we're going to talk hopefully in this extra hour about representative government. You know, what does that mean in original intent? You know, we got to, you know. The adversary is going to tell you the opposite of what you really are. So you got to find out what you really are as a country, as a nation, as a citizen of America. And what does that mean? And just like it's not wrong for you to look at a computer and type a letter because that's what it's designed for. Mm-hmm. You got to find out what the Constitution was designed for and how you should use it as easily as you use your computer. There's things that you need to do as an American. It's called representative government. I mean, if you look at your computer all day long and scream at it and take your banners and march back and forth and build a whole bunch of groups up and just yell at your computer and say, you're not typing letters right. You're not typing letters right. And it's going like, you haven't even touched the keypad, bro.
Exactly.
It's a representative computer. You have to actually get involved in the process. Mm-hmm. If you want a letter to go, oh, you're going to have to type it. So we'll be talking about that. Yeah. Hopefully it'll encourage you because we have to be, you know, we need to speak up. You know, while we have a chance and have this type of this form of government. But so what's happening, man? It's beautiful weather, is it not?
Absolutely. Gorgeous weather. I was in the Bronx the other night, and I'm driving back. And I'm thinking, my gosh, I love nothing like the cool weather. And I was telling Eddie, I could drive over this George Washington Bridge 1,000 times and never get tired of looking at the beautiful New York skyline. I mean, it was just like one of them days, you know, it was just like, oh, this is gorgeous.
I'm scarred from that because all I can remember is that poor little egg. That egg. Yeah, I just think about the pain and the tragedy that bridge represents. Is that
what oh my goodness, Pat. we're in beautiful Fort Lee, New Jersey, which is the New Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge mm-hmm. before you cross it and head over to Manhattan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at, you know, gorgeous Manhattan as we're, you know, walking around Fort Lee, this actually awesome historic park that's right there, which wars were fought right there. You know what I'm saying? George Washington was right there. It's just amazing. And he says, I'm walking. He says, I crushed. What'd you say I crushed?
Well, you ran up and saw this egg. It fell out of a little nest. This little tweety little bird is going like, oh, my egg. And it kind of
it's like a little caterpillar thing that I stepped on by accident. And, but you know what? I'll give it to him.
It was an ostrich egg.
Listen, Pat, I'll give it to him. He has so much compassion.
I was looking over my shoulder.
He sat down on one knee, and he's like, the egg. Oh, I'm like.
There was so much potential in it. You know, as you can see, there could be future, you know, flocks flying over the community, you know, future pigeon deposits over the statues. You know, and well, think about the city, you know, down in other parts of the country, you know, there's rats and rodents, and obviously they have them too, but they have a different kind of rat in the city that has wings. They fly. Yeah. Don't feed the rats. And it's like the pigeons just come and they just relieve themselves over everything. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, they'll relieve themselves over you.
I do want to let you know another great, amazing news. You know, we talked about R.A. Dickey, the Mets pitcher, New York Mets pitcher, and how he is a believer. When he gets on the mound, he's worshiping the Lord. I want to let you know, guys, that this Thursday, on the final game of the season, he will be going for his number 20th win. That's huge.
Wow.
So, we want to celebrate that, and maybe he has a chance to win the Cy Young Award this year, which is when the baseball recognizes the best pitcher of each league. But so he has an amazing story. Loves God, and he says when he gets on the mound, he's worshiping on the mound. He wants to glorify God in everything he does. Just an amazing, amazing year for him. Wow. So
that's cool.
That's awesome.
It's neat how the Lord is blessing these. You know, he's doing it everywhere, but obviously with cameras on you as an athlete, you can really see how God blesses his people when we acknowledge him. You know, speaking of that, tomorrow night on Dish Network, and I don't know what channel Blaze Television is on, but there's going to be a two-part series coming on Dish Network. It's called The Project. And I encourage you to see this. This will really help you out, because we talk about the Muslim Brotherhood. We talk about what's taking place in the world. And I think it's 200. It's in the 200s or something.
212, I think.
212, okay, 212. Channel 212, and it's, I think, around 7 Central, 8 Eastern, 6 Pacific, and it's two parts. And when
what's the name of it?
It's called The Project.
The Project.
Yeah, and it's the name of a strategy, an Islamic strategy to come against America, and they found it when the Twin Towers were attacked the first time, like in 1993, the first attack on the Twin Towers. And they uncovered it through intelligence. They had it all along. And
I think they found it at some hotel in Switzerland.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I read the article. Yeah.
What?
Well, they found the, you know, they, I guess there was intelligence there. They busted into this hotel room and they found a bunch of paperwork, and it was talking about this project. And it was talking about, you know, dismantling America.
Yes, dismantling America. And it's all fulfilled. It's all being fulfilled. We're in the line last final. Well, it's actually, this is the third phase of it, and it'll help you, from what I understand, from how it's being presented. And they spent 8 months putting this together, and documented everything to help give you an understanding of what's taking place.
Right.
And if we don't wake up to it, I mean, it's going to help you make decisions. You know, the thing people are going like, you know, I think I'll get paid a nickel more an hour if I vote for this person or that person. It's like, dude, you know, it's so much different. It is nothing about that.
Did you know in a recent poll and done amongst believers in New Jersey that 72% said that they felt that the biggest concern of the believers, the biggest concern to them during this election is the economy.
Right. It's true.
It's like,
you know, where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is also. You know, when you look at what we talk about quite often. You know, the church itself is robbing God, you know, of tithes and offerings. Only 97% of the church, regular church attenders who go to their gathering at least once or twice a week, or once every 2 weeks, they're not even given to God. 97%, you know, and so it's become about money. It's become about what's in it. And money's, people are not necessarily in love with money, although there are some people in love with money. They're in love with what money gets.
That's right. They don't like green pieces of paper. Right. You can't do nothing.
They like the car it gets, or the house it gets, or the you know, the following it gets, because people will follow money. It doesn't matter how stupid it is. And
it's embarrassing.
The banker. Anyway, so the
I know it's, it's embarrassing. It's like
it is, and God does not even it doesn't even cross God's scales how He sees things that way. It doesn't even. Normally, it's the person probably the most influential in God's eyes is the one that's not even being recognized in that particular whole gathering right there. But so you know, here we are. You know, as a matter of fact, pronounce that name.
Ahmed Ahmadinejad.
There you go, John.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that good? That good? Ahmed.
Now say it 5 times.
That's okay.
He's Ahmed.
Ahmed.
No, Ahmed. Like he was moody. It was like Ahmed.
Ahmed.
Ahmed. But yeah, and so we are, you know, at a state right now where, and there's hope. Listen, you know, even when, you know, all of God's people were being taken captive, God reserved for Himself 8,000. I mean, God always reserves for Himself a people. And He preserves His name. I mean, even with the point where He's going to destroy the world, He says it's going to be the same as the days of Noah. Listen, it's not going to be any different. It's not going to be any different in the world when the Lord comes back for His people. It's going to be exactly how it was in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? Crazy things that were going on. The whole earth was corrupted, and it was corrupted because men corrupted it. How did they corrupt it? Because every man on the face of the earth, outside of Noah and his family, had on their mind evil 24 hours a day. And he says it'll be just like the days of Noah. People will be marrying and giving in marriage, and all this evil will be going on. But understand that the darker things get, the lighter you look as a believer. And don't give up. Realize it's time to really start shining your light and letting people know that there's a difference. And the difference is, you know, in the days of Noah, the people are going to be destroyed without a remedy. Today, when people start seeing gross darkness and they suffer the pain of the consequences of their decisions, and they start looking at you and your life and your peace in the midst of all this trouble and struggle and all the things that are going on, they're going to see that you're going to be saved out by God, and they're going to be destroyed if they don't turn to God. And you're going to see a great harvest. You're going to see a great harvest of people coming to God. You know, in hard times, sad to say, you know, softens hard hearts. And then all of a sudden, what seemed to not work before, the very same truth of God goes into their heart because their heart is not hard anymore.
Amazing how that works.
Sort of like soil, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think Jesus talked about the seed and the soil, the seed and the sower, right? And that's right. That's what it's like, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, right here in, we come back. We're going to be talking about President Bill Clinton, who CNBC. There you go. Wow. CNBC.
Mm. MSNBC?
No, it's the financial network.
CNBC.
CNBC. They had a special on calling former President Clinton president of the world. And so we're going to find out what he has to say about the world when we come back. Yeah, I think about that, you know, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, you know, began... You know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God, people would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion, you know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, right, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. I was just shocked here. Sorry it took me so long, but I just saw that zombie bees are invading Washington. Zombie bees.
What's a zombie
really?
Bee?
Yeah, think about it. I don't know. I just saw it. They got this guy with a Ziploc over his head. Oh, no, he just has it holding it up. He's holding it in front of his face here. But it's zombie bees.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it like a bee, like flying around the air?
I don't know what that is right here. A zombie bee. Let's see.
The only way to bring down this massive beehive.
Ready?
I'm heavy enough,
aren't I? Is to go up and get it. It's incredibly dangerous because these aren't homey honeybees, but rather aggressive Africanized killer bees from Brazil. They can't be saved because they'll swarm you, then sting you. So they have to be exterminated.
The real danger is if they do attack someone, they attack in large numbers, you know, like hundreds or thousands. And so it just becomes real dangerous. It can become deadly.
That's Kyle Lieb, who's going to climb roughly 3 stories off the ground to kill them.
Fire!
All he'll use is pesticide, experience, and courage.
Oh yeah, now they're getting angry.
As they start to swarm him.
Oh my
god. Yeah, I almost
died.
See, there's more dangerous things than just the bees attacking me.
He kept his footing and honeycomb by honeycomb took down the hive. This is what one of the bees looks like up close. The ones the pesticide didn't kill will be dead in roughly 3 days. They can't live without being told what to do from their queen, who too is being removed. And because they belong to her, they can't join or build another hive, making homeowners out here very happy.
I'm telling you, man, zombie bees. It's like, how many more of these things? I mean, you think about what, you know, what...
All creation speaks, huh?
Well, yeah, no doubt. Well, you think about, you know, John Paul Jackson's prophetic word. He said that these things will just be happening. This one that'll happen, and that'll happen, and this one will happen. And make sure that's available on the VFN Torch, you know, so you can see this thing. Oh, my goodness. Zombie bees. I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but in our county, we have the West Nile virus and all down south, but they spread the entire county at the very same time with trucks all over it during the same couple of hours. Just covered the whole thing with a big cloud of I'm going to kill every mosquito type stuff. because people have dying. Too. People are getting West Nile. It's a ton of land. People are getting West Nile virus and dying. And it's like, remember John Paul Jackson, the prophetic word was, mm-hmm. you know, this will happen. Then that'll happen over there. Then this will happen over here. I mean, these were mm-hmm. huge, but it's like, I mean, you got to pay attention. You got to discern what's happening. If not, you'll just like, I can't believe it. And the next thing, I can't believe it. And, you know, 17, I can't believe it's later. It's just like, we don't even want to hear
Come
it.
Come on, exactly.
You're
Come
supposed
on.
To be a believer, yeah. first of all. And, you know, you're saying you can't believe it. But, you know, I want to get this in. You know, we get a chance because it's so important, you know. Not that, you know, this Time magazine just haunts me. You know, I had, anyway, so on the front cover is former President Bill Clinton. It says five ideas that are changing the world. And just to read you what they are, the first one is cell phones. The first thing he says is the five things that are changing the world. We're not talking about a little city somewhere. We're talking about a little nation. We're talking about the world. Mm. You can see NBC saying, you know, it's a program that he's like the president of the world. His wife, our Secretary of State, is the most traveled Secretary of State in the history of America. How many countries, John?
I have no idea how many countries, but it's like 200, I think, that she's been around.
And they talk about, you know, that it's breaking down. What happens is controlling people can get to you now.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and one of the things we have on the VFN Torch, you know, and some of our highlights talking about imprinting India. And they're just, we're moving into the end time beast economy, guys. This is what's happened. And no, this is not AM radio. But, you know, we will move into those days, and it looks like everything is set up. It's just, will the people buy into what's going on here? And cell phones, you know, it just tracks you everywhere. It'll track you in your business, where you are in the building itself. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a little finder thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just put mine on my dog and send him out for the community for a while, and he comes back after traveling the lands. Mm-hmm. No. And, but 86 out of 100 now, 86% out of all the people in the world, 86% mm-hmm. have wow. a cell phone, they say. They're subscribed, have a subscription to a cell phone worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's pretty common in areas that don't have infrastructure because instead of having all these big wires and burying lines, they just throw some towers and get out cell phones. You mm-hmm. know, Haiti's got, that's one of the biggest companies probably in Haiti. Yeah. Is a cell phone company. So the way that they can communicate to you, we just need to communicate. We communicate like Woodrow said and how he thought Hitler, Beelzebub, whatever his name is, Beelzebub, to communicate. We can communicate. I just need to communicate a little bit better to the people and they'll understand why I'm messing them over and taking and destroying the Constitution. We'll move on to the next point. So Bill Clinton says, you know, as he's trying to rule the world, and, you know, at some point the world's going to be broken up into 10 different districts and it's going to have 10 different kings over each of those districts, where they call them governors or whatever, you know, and it's reportedly, you know, Perry Stone reports that China's already printed up the Amero now, which is when you talk about, you know, South America, Central America, and North America, which goes all the way, of course, to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see Russia from there. that
no, you did.
No, well, I'm friends with him. Anyway, the they're one currency, and once you know, once whoever controls the money controls the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a currency, and when you know China owns 40% of your economy, they're hurting right now, by the way, because they have to maintain a double digit. Growth rate. If they don't do that, then their citizens will revolt against the government because they don't like this government.
Mm-hmm.
And they already revolt. Matter of fact, one of the companies that makes the iPhone, they've already went on strike and started this rebellion.
Foxconn.
Yeah, Foxconn. And some guy jumped off the top of the building and killed himself. And
oh wow.
And the whole world, if you try to connect people based off of their nationality, based off their country, based off of anything other than the fact is it's a spiritual thing. You're gonna divide everything up. Realize right now, second heaven, Ephesians 6:12, powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness are unfolding a strategy across this globe right now. And everybody who's walking outside of Jesus Christ, and even those that claim, some of those that are claiming to walk, I mean, clergy for Planned Parenthood, I mean, you know, for choice, come on, that's crazy. But that he's accomplishing his will, some of his will, and he wants to rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using the word like the cliff's coming. And in America, they're talking about, you know, we're going to have to, you know, pay Peter here in January because we put everything off. But prophetically, the Lord laid on my heart and several other people's heart was that we're, you know, we're hanging on the edge of a cliff.
Right.
And my word was that God gave me that they're just seeing how close they get us to the cliff so the push is easier. But we could be pushed now, you know, and everybody's sleeping. And it makes you really think, you know, that, that maybe this is ordered because God will give a sleeping, slumbering spirit to people that have just turned their backs on him and don't have any intentions prior to discipline, you know, turning back to him. So we have to go through a time of captivity and struggle, like Josiah, then Jehoiakim, and then Zedekiah, the whole process of coming into a time. And then all of a sudden, you know, God frees his people when they cry out. And so really there's a tension there. You know, you got to make sure, you know, what's happening here. I mean, this, what God says is going to happen,
regardless.
We always hoped it would be somewhere else in some other generation. You know, it's like, we're too tired for this. And oh my goodness. But the second thing he talks about is a healthy communities prosper. And they're talking about that AIDS, HIV has dropped dramatically and getting health care to different people, which is pretty cool that people are getting healthier. And but they're also, you have to understand, one of the, some of the ways they're doing this is through abortion, the day after type pills. They're doing it through ways that you wouldn't consider a godly way to be able to control a population. And the big thing that anybody should really be asking the question is, why do you go to the African continent and do things in the African continent that you wouldn't do in your own continent? And you call that helping them.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You call that helping them. You know, you think, you know, helping them get abortions in Africa is going to help them out, you know, giving them forms of this or that versus saying, how about helping them get a job? How about helping them build an economy? How about helping them have a life and dignity? And it, of course, throughout Africa, there is areas, but a lot of the different areas that they're talking about, Malawi and maybe Zimbabwe, I don't know, I can't name all the different areas that Somalia, they talk about the oppression, and it's like, why is, you know, taking my baby better for my community and my nation? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
If part of making you have a better world is taking my life out, I just don't, for some reason, I have an issue with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Definitely.
So you want to make your life better by ending my life. I just, you know, the one whose life's being taken is just not in agreement with that. I don't care what you say. But that's,
somebody said, there was President Reagan said that. She said, I noticed that everyone that's a, that is not, is that is for abortion is presently alive right now.
That's, exactly right. And the ones against it don't yet have a voice. You know, don't even have a voice yet. And so the third thing he talks about is green energy equals good business. I'm like, come on, China's cranking out so much smog, you probably couldn't even, you know what I'm saying?
For real.
You know, and it's like, but it's another mechanism thing of, you know, talking about global warming and, you know, Mother Earth and all these different
taxation.
Things. Yeah, and all that. Yeah, because the economies is, if you can get people to buy into like the commerce clause that we did in America, like in the 17-whatevers, the 1800s, then they've been using that to do all these different things since then. Well, if they can get the world to say something insignificant, such as, you know, we can, you know, tax, you know, carbons or something like that, and people go, that's pretty good. And the next thing you know, they're taking your guns because you open up the authority of the United Nations to be able to tax you and to structure things. And it's just, don't give up your rights, you know? And hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that in original intent a little bit. But the fourth thing that he talks about that's changing the world is women rule. It's entitled Women Rule. Simply put, no society can truly flourish if it stifles the dreams and productivity of half its population. And he's talking about, you know, like Rwanda and different countries like that. But he says that in legislature, they talk about in statistics here, that one now of every five lawmakers, 20% are women in the parliament now. And he's talking about that. That is a key to being able to change the world. And so women ruling. And the last one is, the fight for the future is now. And it says, you know, many of the world's greatest challenges today are simply modern manifestations of our oldest demons. He's like, yeah, men want to rule the world. And the truth is, the future has never had a big enough constituency. Those fighting for present gain almost always. It says, those fighting for present gain almost always win out over those that are fighting for the future. See, we are in a pitch battle between the present array of resources and attitudes and the future struggling to be born. You hear that? It's like, oh my goodness, a pitch strategy. We're being pitched for one world government. We're being pitched for one world economy. Mm-hmm. We're being pitched. And he's saying things like, they let their, their faith in God get in the way. Their confidence in the founding father's constitution of the United States that allowed you to be president and governor of Arkansas get in the way. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to go to another country, you know, and you want to be, you know, over, you know, the United Nations, that's cool, but don't do away with our country.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What's a shame? I mean, it's only been a few presidents, you know, and Jimmy Carter are going to try to sell us out. And it's like, we should have never hired you. If you're going to try to sell our country out, it's like, dude, you're supposed to represent us.
No, you're supposed to represent the world.
Yeah. Now the competition is like, what was that 5.2%? I'd like the 6 billion. I want to roll the 6 billion. And so you're looking at them fueling this tensions. These things are being fueled that our president just said, in an interview on CBS on Sunday, that this is expected. These kind of tensions, you know, these are called bumps in the road. It says, no, it's called killed our ambassador in Libya. It's not a bump in the road. I mean, you know, by the way, if I'm dead because of something like that, even though they're saying it's a bump on the road, say, listen, he already told me he doesn't consider this a bump in the road.
Yeah, exactly.
He considers it murder, you know, that was wrong. And can you believe that? You know, we're not. It's just crazy.
All right.
A bump in the road. The Marines, 51 of our military is getting killed, and from friendly fire, people representing in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. It's not a bump in the road. Fort Hood's not a bump in the road. A merger with the Muslim Brothers, not a bump in the road. Listen, if you don't like America, leave it, but don't destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying that you know, we are in a pitch battle between the present array of resources, in other words, the resources that we have, and the attitudes, and the future struggling to be born. And he begins to talk about Cairo, Egypt. It's like, it ended up being led by the Muslim Brotherhood. What is good about that?
Right.
They want to destroy. The first thing they did is run off the ambassador of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to break the peace treaties with Israel. And they want to destroy, the Muslim Brotherhood wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. There's nothing good about that. Mm. Bill Clinton, there's nothing good about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it will come back to haunt you. You know, you can't mess with God's people. You cannot mess with the apple of his eye. And the reason why this little piece of land and these little people seemingly have caused your world agenda so many issues is because you're not fighting against Israel. You're fighting against God. Your agenda is against God, and you won't win. You might get a few more stuff and things and power over some people, but in the end, you're going to face God and find out, my goodness, I was fighting against God. All that time I was fighting against God.
Yep.
So that's five things that the president, they call him president of the world, and I really believe that that would be one of their agendas, and to be able to be a part of some sort of ruling class for the world with George Soros. Because remember that when Chelsea Clinton got married, they stayed in George Soros's daughter's house. And George Soros is one of those couple guys that said that has together over $300 trillion that they can pull out of economy. and crash at any moment.
Mm.
And that's who they're working this thing. They're not wanting to destroy the world. They're mm-hmm. wanting to rule the world.
What's interesting that one of the things is that about women, and the fourth thing is that women rule. He was just asked recently about Hillary Clinton running for office. He says, I believe that this president is going to win. But if Mitt Romney wins, he says that 2016, he says, you know, she spent 8 years in the White House, 6 years in the Senate. Now she's had 4 years as a Secretary of State. It's been a long 20 years, but there's nobody who'd be more qualified. And he really feels that she could be the president of the United States. And then he says, he's quoted as saying, She's really good at this, and she was doing it long before I was. He says, touching on the form of on her volunteer work, I'd like to spend the rest of my life working for her.
Well, he has pretty much since the beginning, right?
That's right.
Since the law firm.
Wow.
Very interesting. You look at the picture. Yeah, it's just like you look at the picture on the cover of Time magazine. It's like it's the most littlest world globe I've ever seen. Normally, you see a world globe is huge, and he's like cradling this thing like a baby.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that's eerie, man. That is just eerie. Sorry.
And the sad thing about it is true, you know, and that's what's in it appears to be in their minds and their hearts. And we'll talk more about that because we have a lot of stuff on that. But rest assured, lest the Lord changes things. You're going to see Hillary Clinton on the world stage and the national stage, and she has been working very hard ever since she chose William Jefferson Clinton when she left the Rodham Law Firm. And we'll talk more about it in the future. We'll be right back.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them. And you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Dude, John, I was opening up my mail the other day, and I got an offer to subscribe to a magazine. Check this out. They wanted $25 a month. Not a year, a month.
Hey, $25 a month. Come on. Are you serious?
Yeah. That didn't even get a second look. I was like, no, like $25, trash. That's where that went. I was like, that ain't jiving, you know?
I bet. $25.
Not going to work. But get this. Did you know that what you can subscribe for free?
What?
VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You get more content. You get the downloads. You get to see more of what is not heard, more of what's not talked about on the daily VFN radio program. Check it out. VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. We were just talking about everybody wants to rule the world. I remember there was a song like that years ago when I was in the Navy. Like, everybody wants to rule the world, something like that.
Yeah. I tell you what, you got to pick up that jazz, that song, man. Well, it's wonderful. We're coming back, and I know that we're getting close to the end of the Extra
Hour.
Yeah,
I want to be able to cover that moment of wisdom.
Yeah, please.
Okay, I want to cover that. You know, the moment of wisdom before we close out today. It's so important, you know, to get wisdom. You know, it's the 25th of the month, and we want to make sure that that we cover ourselves with wisdom, because you got to have, you know, wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. And right now, we need to know what to do with what we know. We're having mm-hmm. all this news given to us, but we need to know what to do with the news we know. And you do that through wisdom, hearing, you know, what God has to say about it, God's word. Mm-hmm. And since it's the 25th of the month, we always go to the corresponding chapter in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. And it's the so we go to the 25th chapter in Proverbs. And here we are. It's Proverbs 25:2. That's the proverb for today. And it reads, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, to search out a matter is the glory of kings." Think about it. It's the glory of God. Now think about it. It's the awesomeness of God to hide a matter, to conceal it, to keep it kind of tucked away. And it is the glory of a king to search it out. Mm-hmm. You know, we're living in a culture today that no longer sees much value in searching a matter out.
Yeah.
What once was considered, you know, an art, a skill, an important quality of one's life to thrive, to be able to search a matter out, has turned into something like a Google search, mm-hmm. a search engine, allowing corporations, and that's who that is, to already have things searched out for you, mm-hmm. which means there's no glory for you.
Right.
It's almost like the corporations are taking your glory. Because it's the glory of God to hide a matter, and he is King of kings. Know you not that you are kings and priests, a nation of kings and priests, and we're talking to the church here, that you're supposed to search things out. Mm-hmm. To think about having to do legwork, invest time and resources in searching out a matter, seems so obsolete today. But does that mean that the glory that once was men's are now corporations, businesses? Mm-hmm. I'll let them just tell me what to think. Tell me what to think. What was once the glory of men and women is now turned into possibly the glory of business. In Jeremiah 29:13, you know, God's word tells us, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Listen, you can't Google God. You're not going to find, I mean, you can find a scripture. You could probably find some research or something like that, but you're not going to Google, you're not going to, you know, Yahoo your way to a relationship with God. You're not going to intellectually find God. You're going to have to do the legwork. If we talk about abiding, we're saying, listen, go after God. When you read the Song of Solomon, he's kind of explaining to us that relationship where I am my beloved is mine, and she's waiting for her bridegroom to come, and all of a sudden she's getting, preparing herself and getting herself set up, and all of a sudden he starts to come in, and he starts to open her door a little bit to come into her room, but then he closes the door and he just leaves, and all of a sudden she goes, "Where did he go? Mm-hmm. Where did he go?" And then she begins to run in the streets, and she's getting beat up, and people are stealing her stuff, and she's seeking him out. "Where have you seen my beloved? Have you seen him? Have you seen him?" And what's happening is God is revealing his glory. He's hiding himself, and he's wanting us to come after him. Mm-hmm. It's a loving relationship. And he's going to reveal more and more of himself to you if you'll actually do the legwork. If you'll just wake up, church, and go after God. If you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. It's your glory to go after him, to search him out. It's not a negative thing. It's not, oh, I've got to go read two chapters and do it. No, it's not about that. It's like, listen, you're searching him out. You're meditating on his word. Listen, it's your glory to search him out, and it's his glory to hide himself from you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Tenney wrote a book called God Chasers. It's about being a God chaser. Mm-hmm. And look, everything in society right now that you're seeing through the agendas and all is about not only don't chase after God, but remove his name. And the next generation won't even know that there's a God to chase if we don't tell them about God.
As my deer pants for water, right? As a deer pants for so my soul longs for you.
As a
there's
deer,
a panting involved.
Yes.
There's a searching. There's a running after.
As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul, what I think, what I want, what I feel, pants after you. Listen, it's kind of unusual in our culture to understand this, because it's so easy just to get information, and corporations have, there's people actually searching these matters out, and they're putting in logarithms and some different mathematical equations. So you can just type in a word in a search engine, and it's going to give you some potential, you know, things that you're looking for, and it's going to reveal some research for you that you're going to read. Mm-hmm. But you understand that that human beings had to actually put that together at some point. You know, and God's saying, listen, that's not going to replace you personally having a relationship with me. You're going to have to do the legwork here. That's when we talk about abiding with him.
Mm-hmm. Or eating another man's groceries, right?
Yeah, or eating another man's groceries. And so, you know, when you go to iabide.org, you're going to find out what we're saying is seek God. Go after God. God's hiding. He's not going to just go, here I am. Here's 100% of me. You know, take me. Okay, whatever you want to do. I mean, it's not what he's going to do. He's awesome. He's ever revealing. Imagine having like 50, 60 veils over God's face. And every time he pulls another veil off his face, you know, all these angels go, whoa, awesome, holy, worthy. And he's just like, you're just overtaken with him. And you think, oh my goodness, that was just, and then he pulls another one off. It's like, oh my, oh, and you're like, holy, worthy is God. I mean, when you go after him, he reveals himself to you. Listen, the enemy has stole this revelation from much of the church today, but I'm telling you, I'm giving it back to you that says, listen, it's the glory of God to hide a matter, to kind of tuck himself away to see if you'll come after him. Yes, he did draw near to you. And then he pulled away. You know why? Not because you've done something wrong. Don't listen to the devil. He pulled away to see if you'd come after him. To see if you'd come after him. You know, when you're a father and you're going talking to your little boy or little girl, and they're playing on the floor with their blocks or whatever they're playing with, you know, and the father says to the little boy, he says, hey, I'm going to the store. Do you want to go with me? And the father, the little boy, if he wants to be with the father, he just drops his blocks and goes. But if he doesn't want to be with the father and he'd rather be with the blocks, he says, well, what are you going to get?
What are
we going to do? And you know what I'm saying? The father knows, never
where
mind.
Where are you going?
Just stay with your blocks, son. Stay with your blocks, because you didn't want to be with me. And what God wants to know is he'll take care of us. He'll give us the things that we need to be able to survive in life. The question he's asking us is, will you search me out? Will you quit reading your word, my Bible, religiously, he would say, my word religiously, and start reading it relationally? Begin to look and search me out. Search me out in the word, and I'll reveal myself. The word is active. It's living. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates, you know, the attitudes of your heart, the thoughts and intents. I mean, and God's going to speak to you, and as you search the scriptures and abide with him, he's going to reveal, you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Listen, today's wisdom moment is so important, because everybody's trying to take this away from you, and you can't Google God. Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter, it's the glory of kings. Well, God bless. We really enjoyed the extra hour today. Don't forget, it's 24/7 BFN Radio. You also can like us on Facebook. Share us with your friends. See us on the BFN Tours. God bless. Until tomorrow, BFNTV.com.